Good afternoon and welcome. So I'm joined this afternoon by Scott, who is here to talk with us about his participation in the 14th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk. Welcome, Scott.
Hi, Jen. Hi.
Hey. So, Saturday was the big day.
Yeah, what an excellent day. I love that we get to do this because I just had so much fun the whole leading up to it, the day. And then I was doing some recording and listening afterwards. And at one point, you know, the guy who's just really lit up by all this, he was kind of like, well, can we do more than one bridge walk a year? You know, kind of like, does it have to end? You know,
right.
So being able to talk about it, I get, you know, I just realized I get to go right back to that experience of joy, that process of joy.
You know, Scott, and you make a really stellar point that I had never really thought of, but when we do something like the bridge walk or go on retreat or we have these amazing experiences, we get back being in that lit up, excited, you know, full of life place so that we know that place and we can practice bringing it into our lives.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I took a picture from the middle of the Golden Gate Bridge, looking back at Chrissy Field, which is where we have our joyous festival, and you could see just barely like a little bit of white where the chairs and the white chairs and the white tables were, and it's fun because, well, a couple of things are fun about that. It seems so small, so far away, yet the energy of what this Sangha, and this Sangha meaning the folks that participate in this practice and the folks who live in Canton Loba, you know, those folks are Sangha as well. What we're able to do together is so huge. It's so big.
Yeah.
And it's fun because I put that picture as my screensaver on my phone, and every time, a very similar process, every time I see that picture, I just go right back to what's possible to do together.
Yes, yeah. Gosh, that's a good point. And, it, you know, that's such a great perspective that, you know, so looks so far away, it's so tiny, and it can be that thing of, I mean, really, what difference are we going to make? You know, Africa is such a huge continent, you know, I mean, what's going to, you know, and yet, wow, just from one person, you know, if we look at the history of this particular practice, you know, there's Sherry Huber years ago just to support her own practice beginning to sit and inviting other people to sit. And that means we could spend the next hour going through that progression, right? And then the next thing, and then the next thing. And then here we are today, as you say, you know, this group of people who are making an extraordinary difference. And at the group of people in Canton Loba who are making an extraordinary difference. It's just it's such an honor to be part of it.
Yeah, it reminds me of what Sherry said a while ago about that we help one another see our potential or realize our potential.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at that about how that may be operating for me. And I think it's that place of what you're saying, that Africa is so far away and this situation is so far removed. And then you start to participate in this and you see that this is all one life. We're all the same. You know, and that's, to me, that is realizing the potential for me to see that I'm not a separate self, that this is life living, and that's what this project does for me over and over again.
Yep. And, you know, what that does for us is it allows us to do everything we do, and this project in particular, on the level of process instead of the level of content.
Yes.
You know, So ego would want it to be, well, how big of a difference can you make? You know? I mean, are you really in the scale of things, in the scope of things? But when we get that perspective of, gosh, we're all one, it's all one thing, then we realize that all of it, in a way, you know, it's the thing of when one person awakens, when one person is practicing, all sentient beings are saved in that.
Yep. That's exactly where I was going. I mean, you couldn't do anything bigger.
Right, yeah,
you know,
exactly, yeah.
To transform, you know, lives and to save beings is about as huge as you can, hugest thing you can do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And also just even on the content level, the campaign itself was wildly successful.
I wanted to say, oh, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
No, talk about wildly successful. I love that.
Well, I was just going to give some of the numbers.
Yes.
On what we got to. We set out as a goal to keep 10,000 commitments, and we blew past that.
Mm-hmm.
Kept 15,000 commitments, and then we got the best pictures in from the team in Cantaloma. Did their own bridge walk. We have to say I was showing the pictures around the day of because they had literally just come in hours before from Teresa, and people were saying, "Oh, did they have a bridge to walk across?" No, but that didn't stop them. You know, they just had a fantastic time.
Yeah.
They lit up, so excited. So some of those pictures are going to go up on the website. You know, they may actually already be up there. I'm not sure if our person who's posting them has had a chance to do that. But at any rate, all those photos will be posted. But the thing they were so excited about was to report that they'd kept 25,000 commitments.
Wow.
Isn't that, I mean, just outrageous. Yeah. So fun. So fun. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's such a fun day. I wonder if we could share, maybe you could give the backstory on that, the picture we took at the bridge walk and the banner we created that we were going to send him.
Yeah. So one evening in group, we were during the campaign, people were talking about it and just being lit up about it. And one of the residents talked about going home each night and how one of the things she was doing was giving a literal high five on a chart that she had and tracing it and, you know, kind of with the mentor giving a high five. And so the image just dropped in of we could give our physical high five to the team in Cantaloma. And so Sequoia, our resident, very creative, beautiful artist, created a banner for us, and we brought it to the walk, and people got to paint their hands and give a high five on the banner that we're going to take over on our next trip. So that's really fun. Yeah,
it is really fun. Yeah, and there's just so many great things if you haven't been to a bridge walk before, and I'm kind of saying this as a prompt that we're all going to attend in the 15th annual. We're making a big push for as many folks as possible to come and participate. You know, there's fun things like that. You know, we get to make this huge banner and there's your hand and you get to send a message to these folks that we love so much. And, you know, there's burritos and there's drumming, which is amazing to do together as a Sangha. And it's just a beautiful setting. I mean, you're looking at the Golden Gate Bridge and San Francisco and the Bay and sunshine, and it's just, and then of course all the people we love so much, all of the Sangha showing up, coming together to celebrate and with their families, which I love, you know, kids running around and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Actually, that's fun you said that, Scott, because I was thinking about the 15th annual as well and really encouraging people to come. And there are kids who were, you know, gosh, knee high when we started this, who now didn't come this year because they're in college, things like that. And I thought it would be really fun to do a really thorough, fun campaign around, okay, take the weekend off from college, come on back. You know, everyone who's grown up in that bridge walk, we want to see you there. We want all of you there next year. You know, just a huge crowd. And the drumming, as you said, I did want to underline that because that is really special. The person who does the drumming with us actually bring the drum for every single person. And so we all get to sit with a, you know, full-size drum. I don't know drums, so I don't know the name of them, but, you know, for good, fun drums and just feeling those beats and being sort of walked through an imagery of doing all of that, that was really spectacular. Really, really fun.
Yeah, extraordinary. Yeah, so there's just so many good reasons to come into the Bay Area for the bridge walk next year.
Yeah, exactly. Hope it's really huge. And I will say that we were also incredibly successful in terms of our fundraising. Very exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Our total at the end of the day on Saturday was $80,000, which is right in line with where we want to be. Because often, so the walk comes, and then there's always a bunch of fundraisers and that sort of thing that are finishing up. through the rest, the course of the month, we're already at 90.
Wow.
So we've gone, we've gone from 80 to 90 already.
In a few days.
And I spoke with someone who is one of the people who donates through me each year. And I told her, you know, that we have this matching grant and that it's good through the end of October. She was saying, oh, you know, we haven't gotten our donation in. I really want to do that. And I, when I told her about the matching grant, she was so moved by that and so excited for us. This is someone who knows me, but she's not directly involved in the project herself, was so excited for us that it was really motivating her to see, to dig deeper and see what's the most generous contribution we can give this year.
Gosh, isn't that such a beautiful process? I mean, people who don't even really know the practice, you know, I just imagine it's the goodness in us, seeing the goodness in whatever's going on in this bridge walk, and it just resonates with people. People want to participate. They want to give.
Yes, exactly. I've heard someone talk about that people enjoy being invited to participate in funding something that they really care about. You know, we often feel shy about that. But often people will, especially if they don't kind of have a cause picked out themselves. I think Jen talked about that a few weeks ago when we interviewed her about her fundraiser, that for her, she had that donor who was so pleased to give to her because for him, it was, you know, he knows her and he knows that she knows the organization really well, and it's a place that he can offer a donation to, a place that he knows is coming from a really good place, and that's a great service.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a great service, and it sounds like what you're saying is it's not too late to seek those donations, to support people and who actually want to give.
And to this kind of service. We have through the end of this month, actually, that matching grant is good for.
Wow.
That's so exciting.
Now it makes you want to get up and go, doesn't it?
It does.
Wow.
And we do our annual strategic planning at the monastery in November, late October and November. And so it's so exciting to go into, especially the Africa planning, knowing that. And so we'll be, sending around word after that process about what all those funds are going to do, all the good and exciting things that those funds are going to do. So just huge gratitude all the way around.
Yes, big gratitude. Mm-hmm. And so thank you for having me on the call. That was really fun.
I was just going to say, in gratitude for you for being with us.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks, Scott. Good night.
Thanks, Jen. Thanks, Michael. Good night.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Scott. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
That was fun.
How are you? That was super fun. Takes you right back, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Like we were just there.
We were just there. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
We were just there, weren't we? Yeah. And, you know, I have to say I thought about your two boys when Jen was saying that about the kids. You know, you know, seeing Martin being carried around in a sling, right? Just arrived. And now I think I'm eyeball to eyeball with him. You know, and the little guy he walked up, and I recognized him because, of course, I see him every year, but he was 2 months old on his first bridge walk, and now he's in kindergarten. And it's like, how is this happening to us? It's so fun to see the Sangha growing up. And, and as Jen was saying, you know, a lot of these kids, they're in college now, and it's a wonderful family thing. And we talk so much about that process with the kids in Cantalombo, right? They're these little teeny tiny things, and now they're in high school we're doing everything we can to get them into high school. And and it's that same process, you know, just it feels so much a part of the flow of life. You know, just life unfolding and us being there to witness it. It's beautiful.
Yes. And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because at the Bridge Walk, there are those posters for every year. And I think the one for this year showed the kids from when they were little and, you know, grown up and confident and smiles on their face.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, looking so healthy and strong and vibrant and just like you want kids to look, right?
Yes.
Just exactly everybody's dream for their kids, you know, strong and healthy and excited about life and ready to participate.
Yeah, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And people are marking the first Saturday in October on their calendars. Right now they're going over and, well, I always have to at this point because I don't have my calendar for next year, but I always put it at the end of December, right? So everything I need to put on for next year. So we got to write that down. First Saturday in October next year, 15th annual, it's going to be a big one.
Going to be a big one.
Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting.
It is. Big old homecoming, reunion. I don't know. By then, we'll probably have the technology. We'll meet in the middle, you know, in terms of time and be able to be in conversation with the folks in Cantalomba. And, yeah, it'll be so much fun.
Yes. Yeah, that'll be great. That'll be great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Shall I jump into announcements?
Please. What's going on?
Okay. I just want to say again about the matching grant. That is so great. That
isn't that astounding?
Raise, yeah. Through the end of October.
Through the end of October. So anybody, Jen mentioned it. I had a couple of people with that response, too, that went, okay, I'm going to get back with people. You know, I there are some people I want to let know about this, you know, that kind of thing. And people who committed to doing fundraisers on the day of the walk. Because some ideas floated around about simple ways to do fundraisers, and not too late. I know, you know, there's so much we could say about it, but Teresa Capenda has had, Jen mentioned this at the walk, but has had as her dream from the time this project became obviously real. It's been Teresa's dream to expand it in Cantalomba for those folks who are being so successful now to just start including more and more of Cantalomba until all the kids are in school, all the people, you know, all the parents are involved in cooking and building and all of the things that they do. And, you know, with this kind of funding, it's possible.
Yes. Yeah,
and it would be a truly extraordinary thing to accomplish in the world. Truly extraordinary to be able to change a whole community like that. I don't know if they're 11,000 or 13,000 people or whatever, but to know that a group of people could make that kind of difference for their community, because that's what they want to do. Instead of an attitude of, well, let's get more for me, they're happy to be where they are, grateful to be where they are, and participating and receiving as they are, and then they want to share it with others. That's just, that to me, that is an attitude of mind that simply must be rewarded.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
You just got to say yes to people who have that kind of ambition. Yeah. Okay, I want to help.
Yes.
You want to do that?
Yes.
I want to help. Yeah.
Yes. And I just saw, as you were talking, that the transformation in Cantalomba mirrors the transformation that we experience as a gift and result of this practice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
It really is. It's such a statement of what's possible. And of course, you know, when we talk like this, it can sound like we think we're the only people on the planet doing anything like this. And that's not true. We don't think that. We don't at all. There are many, 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 countless numbers of people and organizations doing amazing things all over the world. We're just grateful to be able to do our little part, and really encouraging of everybody that they do their little. Oh, when Jen and Scott were talking earlier, I don't know if it was today's piece quote, but it must have been recent. The Anita Roddick You know, if you think you're too small to make a difference, try being with a mosquito in the room, right?
Yes.
And so it's such a perfect statement of that, that for everybody, for all of us to realize there is a difference that we can make, and that it feels really, really good to make that difference.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Fabulous. Fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my next announcement, there will be no radio show next week. That's Tuesday, October 13th, because of the precepts retreat at the monastery.
That's right. We're precepting.
Yes. So, again, no radio show next week, Tuesday, October 13th.
Mm-hmm.
And a new email class, Meditating on Chakras, a practice of awareness of energy, is starting October 30th. Participants
yes.
will explore expressing the energies of this here now through the framework of the chakras.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun.
And, yeah, it's going to be great. And celebrate a year of deepening awareness practice and welcome a new beginning at the New Year's retreat. And that's December 27th through January 1st in Menlo Park, California, which is in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Talk about a good time, huh?
Yes.
That is a good time.
And so for these and all other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of reminders, if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1, and a focus on one topic in about 5 minutes would be really helpful.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Oh, you're welcome. Here we go.
All right.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Helen from London.
Well, hello. How are you?
Hi. All right. I haven't phoned for about 5 years, so it feels a bit nerve-wracking.
Well, see, you know the moral of that story, don't you? Don't
that?
Wait so long next time. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Well,
yeah.
Keep breathing.
Well,
it's great to have you with us.
Thank you. I kind of struggle staying up late to
yes.
to wait to call and then, you know, but anyway.
Yes.
So
yes.
I've got loads.
Well, it's either staying up late or getting up early, right? You're either staying up really late or getting up really early. And in
yeah.
either case, it's kind of a challenge and a definitely a commitment, isn't it, to do such a thing?
Yeah. Well, I found myself sitting around this evening, and it was getting later and later, and the reason to not call was getting less and less. So.
Weaker and weaker. All right. Well, what's going on? What have you been up to?
I've been up to loads of stuff. I've got loads of things, but I'll try and keep it to just one thing. And I'm quite a creative person, and I have lots of ideas about stuff, and I love having ideas. You know, it sort of
mm-hmm.
makes me feel inspired and energized and, you know,
mm-hmm.
creative. And but there's a kind of, I guess my question is, when is a creative inspiration and an idea worth following, and when is it just a fantasy that is sort of like part of escaping from life? Do you see what I mean? Because I'm
mm-hmm.
starting to notice that quite a lot of my ideas rarely get realized, and then they just become ideas for ideas' sake. And I'm struggling to know when do I sort of give something attention to work with it, and when do I just say, oh, this is just a distraction. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh. And so when you say a distraction, what is it taking you away from? What is the idea taking you away from?
I guess the present moment. I don't know. It's just
uh-huh.
it's just that I've noticed that I can get quite high with ideas, and I can
mm-hmm.
visualize how it's going to happen, and this will happen, and that will happen. And then I've started noticing lately that some of the ideas are kind of beyond what I'm actually capable of. So they might involve a large sum of money that I don't have. Or, I don't know, there'll be some sort of...
So it sounds like it goes from idea to fantasy.
Yeah, that's the kind of distinction that I was... Yeah, that was the kind of thing that I was hoping to get a bit more clarity on, really.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I do know intimately what you're talking about,
I guess you had lots of ideas when you created the book,
yes.
Right? So there's an
yes.
idea process, which is really,
yes.
really valuable, and
yes, yes. And so what I finally got to, because when we open up to creativity, it really is like opening a spigot. Right, and it starts flowing. And I don't know this, but I suspect that most people are not terribly creative because they're not present. So we can't right. actually be lost in conditioned mind and be creative, because creative happens here in the moment. Right, that's where...
Right.
The intelligence speaks to us and drops in these ideas, right? So if we're not here, mm-hmm. if we're busy, you know, in a conversation about worry or problems mm-hmm. or something wrong, or it's not going to happen. So the more present mm-hmm. you are, the more these ideas are dropping in, right? And then after a while, it can become overwhelming.
Yeah.
Right? Because you've got so many ideas. And as you say, how do you know which ones to pursue? So... The yeah. way I handle that is that, first of all, I love to be inspired. To me,
totally.
Being inspired is like being in love.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I've yeah. never thought being in love was a distraction. Right?
Right?
So what I have wanted to do with my life is to be in love all the time. I just want to live in love. So now, if you're going to do that, you kind of don't want to limit it to people, because that can be tricky. You kind of have to get used to just falling in love with everything. And then you can be in love all the time. Same with inspiration. If I'm only inspired by music, or I'm only inspired by art, or I'm only inspired by, well... then I'm only going to be inspired part of the time, and it's kind of a big opening for conditioning to come in and have opinions. Right? So I just love being inspired. And then what happens is there's the, but what are you going to do?
Hmm.
Right? So I would like I have about 5 books that I would like to write right now. Okay, 5 yeah. that I feel are really good topics and really important, but what is it going to be? Because I can't do all of that, and so I just wait mm-hmm. for life to inform me. Right? There are the inspirations that come up, and it's like, oh, that would be great. That would be incredible. Yes, yes, I would love to do that. I would love to do that. And then it kind of passes away. Right? So mm-hmm. I endeavor not to jump into anything when it first appears.
Yeah.
But just to enjoy it, feel inspired, you know, feel that energy, and then see if it stays around or comes around again. And after it comes around for about 3 or 4 times, over time, then I have a sense that, yeah, this is one to pursue.
Yeah, I'm right with you. That totally makes sense. And I think one mm-hmm. of the things that I'm struggling with is something will keep coming around, and it's almost like someone knocking at the door and never opening the door. You know, it's like, hello. I kind of struggle with financing some of these ideas, and that's when it concerns me that it goes into a fantasy, when it's not something that I can actually financially or practically realize.
Aha. Aha.
Yeah.
I know those two. I had one of those. I've told people about this, that I finally just stood in the middle of the room and said, stop it, stop it, stop it. I don't know who this idea is for, but it is not me, because I cannot
right.
open a theme park.
Right.
I can't. Okay, I can't, I won't, I choose not. Would it be theoretically possible? I suppose, but I can't believe that's the direction of my life. So it must be passing close by me to whoever it's actually going to. So, yes, and what makes me think of is to make a request, because I do think that life responds to our requests. So to make a request for something that would engage you, that would inspire you and use your talents and be a real contribution to you, to life, to everything, that is within your means. And it could be that this is just a first step. That's fine. It may lead to all kinds of things, but that you need something to get started with. And just see if you get
something small that is manageable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And maybe not small. I don't know what you consider small, but something that is within your ability to manage. So, for instance, the first book that I decided to do, I decided to do it because I was tired of saying the same thing over and over and over. I figured if I wrote it down, then I could just hand people the book, right? But I didn't know how to write a book. But somebody appeared in my life with a couple of degrees in English and some very specific talents that went really nicely with this, right? So that came together, and something that would not have been possible for me to do on my own could come to fruition. So we don't necessarily, it doesn't have to be, limited in any way, but that it's going to actually be something that you can accomplish, that you can do.
And would you have a definition of what fantasy is as opposed to inspiration?
Yes, fantasy is, do you have the lottery where you are? Is there a kind of a national or whatever, a lottery so you pick numbers or something and then you're going to win a kajillion pieces of gold and you're going to buy your own island and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's a fantasy, okay? When that happens and then it'll be great, there'll be this and this and I can do this and this and there's a part of us who knows actually, that's probably never going to happen. And it does have the feature of taking us out of the present. It's something we would rather think about than be where we are. And that's very different from being where we are and lit up, open, excited, but present. Because when we're present, that's when the intelligence is dropping in the next step, the next step, the next thing, and now, and now, and now. And those are the messages that we miss when we're off in fantasy land, imagining things that, don't have any real basis in reality.
Okay.
That's
brilliant.
Does that help?
Yeah, that's really helpful. That's great. And it's just great to... I thought I chose a sort of an easy topic to kind of talk about because
So you'll be getting up in the middle of the night again, right? Because you've got more things like this that we need to talk
about.
Yeah,
I'll ring about something a bit more tricky next time.
Okay. Let me build up to it, okay? A little bit, a little bit, a little bit, and then hit me with the really big ones, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
We'll sneak up
on
it.
Very, yeah.
Thank you.
Nice to
take
talk
good
to
care.
You. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Helen. That's fun. More of our British Sangha.
I know. Gosh, it's going to be such a hardship if I have to go to London, don't you think? Wouldn't that be? But, Michael, I'm always willing to sacrifice for Sangha.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I know you are.
Yeah, yeah. Gosh, that'd be
wonderful.
Rough. Okay. Yeah.
Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor now, and then we will be right back.
All right, good. Thank you.
Sure.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers here, Sharon.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, hello. Hello, Michael. Hello, Sherry. My name is Peggy. Peggy from New York.
Hi, Peggy.
Hi.
How are you,
Sherry? How are you doing?
Well, actually, not great, to be honest. So I thought I thought maybe you could give some advice on how to deal with a very difficult situation.
Well, Peggy, you know, I have to say I never give advice, but as you might know, I always have a bunch of ideas about everything. So
right. We'll
just go with
exactly. Those,
okay? See, if I gave advice, right. Then there would be an implication that you're not equal to the situation. And I just don't believe that. But then sometimes, you know, somebody else can have a little different perspective and a little tip or something like that that could be helpful. So that's the role I'll play. How about that?
Okay, that sounds great.
All right.
But, you know, my father's been in the ICU for about 2 weeks in a small town in upstate New York. And my mom stays during the day. I stay during the night. And actually didn't stay tonight because I'm not feeling well. I think I'm coming down with the flu, but it's an incredibly stressful situation because, you know, there's been a lot of problems where, like, the machines will go off and nobody comes, so I have to go get the nurse, or just noticing things that are going crazy. It's just gotten to a point where, like, right now I feel myself just getting really sick, because, and though I still want to go there at night, I'm not even sure if it's possible anymore, but, you know, I do.
Or a good idea, right? You certainly don't want to give everybody there the flu.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, being there, I am being an advocate for my father.
I say constantly to people, nobody should ever let a loved one go to the hospital alone.
Exactly, Sherry.
Yeah. And we would think ICU, you know, ICU, that should be different. That should be, no. Nobody should ever be in there by themselves because of exactly what you're describing.
Right. And actually, ironically, I know you probably know Mercury is retrograde, so things are just messing up right and left. Things you think they would notice right away, they're not noticing. But I guess my question to you is this. I thought maybe part of the reason this is really stressful is maybe I'm going to the story. You know, I'll say, this is so stressful, you know. But I was thinking maybe I need to stop doing that. And,
Somehow
see it as every day, okay, what's going to show up today?
That's right.
Or tonight.
That is exactly right. That is exactly the case. Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, will you be experiencing stress? Probably so. Yes, because, well, first of all, you're staying up all night. First of all, your father's in ICU, right? So there, that's difficult enough. Then you're staying up all night. Then there's your mother and what's going on. Yeah, so it's difficult, right? But being in a story about how difficult it is never helpful.
Right. And mm-hmm. and how do I stay out of that story? Like, how do I,
well,
because it's very powerful. It pulls me back in. And then also the other story
yes.
that goes on is, oh, anything can happen. You know, and actually he's
yes.
beginning slowly, slowly to look better. But, you know, then, of course, I think, well, when are they going to take him off all these machines? And then there's another story there. And will he be able to, will his bodily functions be able to function on their own? And there goes another story, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
So it, like, there's
That's
so
right.
many stories going on, I don't know how to pull myself back out of them.
Yes,
you know,
yes. And they're none of them cheerful. None of them
no,
uplifting
no.
or supportive. That's right. That's what, that's, in these situations, we really get to see conditioned mind for what it is. So people like me are saying constantly, you know, that conversation in your head is there just to make you miserable, just to take your attention, to cause suffering. And people are, oh, well, really, I mean, there must be more to it than that. And then we're in a situation like this where if you ever needed assistance and support and good thoughts and that sort of thing, now is the time, and in fact it just gets more and more negative. So
mm-hmm.
of course do you do recording and listening at all?
Yes, some. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, now would be a time to do more. Okay?
Okay,
so for me, I like to keep things simple, right? And so what you want, I'm guessing, what you want in your life, but especially now, is unconditional love.
Exactly.
Right? You want unconditional love for your father. You want unconditional love for your mother. You want unconditional love for you, for that whole staff, all those people who are working so hard to accomplish these really difficult things. You want to live in unconditional love. True?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, and so that for me would be the focus, and it would be like a mantra. I choose unconditional love. 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 Now, when your attention is...
There you are.
Did I go away?
Yeah, for about 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. All right, and now I'm back. All right.
Now you're back.
So, yes. So, to be focused on a mantra like that, there's still plenty of room left over for communication from wisdom, love, and compassion. So it's not like you're not going to be there available to your mother, to your father, to the staff, to whatever. You know, you can be there. But the focus of your attention is on choosing unconditional love. So, when the voices want to take you in, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm listening. Go ahead.
Well, when the voices want to take you into the future, so when are they going to take him off these machines? I don't know. But I choose unconditional love. Will his body be able to sustain itself? I don't know. I just choose unconditional love. Well, what's going to happen? We don't know. I just choose unconditional love. Right now, in this time, in this place, I choose unconditional love. This is the life we have right now. I want to be here for it, and I want it to be happening in unconditional love. I want my heart to be completely open. I want to be as present as I can be, and I just want to be a giant conduit for unconditional love. That's what I want to bring to this situation.
And I would do that into the recording, or I would just keep saying it all day to myself, both.
You when you're not there, when you're by yourself, you can record it. Okay?
Okay.
You just walk around with a recorder on and you say it over and over and over. I choose unconditional love. Yeah? I like to say it and then leave a little gap, so it would be, I choose unconditional love. And in that gap, I would say it silently to myself, and then I would record the next, you know, it would be recorded again, I choose unconditional love. I would hear it, and then there would be a little gap, and I would say to myself, I choose unconditional love. And then the recording would say it to me. I would hear it. I would repeat it with the recording, and then I would say it in the little gap that follows. Okay? So when you're alone, you can do that. And when you're with others, have an earbud in. And have the recording on. And just have that repeating. And your attention will wander, but you'll hear it, and you'll remember, and you'll come back, and you'll say it. And as you do that, increasingly, that's the world that you'll live in.
Okay. That sounds very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, you don't want it to end when this situation ends, right? You just want to stay right there for the rest of your life. It's something that you can practice with for the rest of your life, because there is no life situation that is not improved by unconditional love.
Okay.
Yeah?
That sounds great. Thank you so much, Sherry.
Let me know, okay?
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Let me know how your father does. Let me know how your mother is. Let me know. Let me know how
okay.
you do. All right.
Okay,
good.
I promise.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Be thinking about you. Okay. Take care. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Peggy. And thank you, Sherry, for that reminder about unconditional love. Yep, always helpful.
Yeah, it's what we want, right? It's what we want all the time. You know, things are hard. Well, then that's a perfect time for unconditional love. Things are great. Yes, I want to be in unconditional love. I just want to be a giant, you know, like a pig pen, you know, the boom, 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 the circles, the concentric circles. Boom, 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 boom. Unconditional love, unconditional love, unconditional love, unconditional love. Just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and more and more and more is included in it, right? And then the unconditional love recognizes unconditional love, right? It connects with other unconditional love. Boom, 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 boom. There it goes out. Just everything. Things are hard. It's difficult. People get sick. People die. We get disappointed. And we lose jobs, we lose, it's just everything, all the stuff that happens in life. We just bring it all into unconditional love. That's the best we can do. We can't change anything, but we can love everything.
Yeah, and it's great to have a single focus for all content.
Yes.
Great.
Exactly. So I don't have to decide, shall I be understanding here? Can I forgive that? Is that really the kind of thing am I condoning that? I'm just bringing it all into unconditional love. I don't know. I don't know anything about anything. But I know that the best that can happen for anything is unconditional love. So it's not up to me to decide, is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Is this right? Is this wrong? Is this? That's not my business. My business is to be unconditional love and to embrace everything in my sphere, everything that I encounter in unconditional love. That's my job. Yeah. So,
brilliant.
Sister Phil,
brilliant.
Yeah, Sister Phil will say, you know, work as if everything is up to you. Pray as if everything is up to God. Right? And that's just it. You know, we're here, we're doing the best that we can, but we're not in charge. Right? So what we can do is practice being as loving as we can possibly be and willing to embrace everything into unconditional love and acceptance. I think that's the whole point of this plane of existence. Do I know that? Absolutely not. But does it make sense? Doesn't it? I mean, isn't that what every hero of ours has told us, essentially, just be love. To the best of our ability, in each and every moment, just be love. We're all passing through. We're all short-timers. The longest life is going to be brief, right? We're just this flash of light in an endless reality, right? So here we are. Let's love.
Let's love. And let's love this next caller, too. How about that?
All right. By golly.
All righty, next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. This is Marianne calling from Canada.
Hello, Marianne. I think somebody else is calling along with you. And your phone's ringing. It's ringing in my ears. How are you, Marianne?
I'm wonderful.
Good.
I am inspired by the community bridge walk, and I couldn't come, but a friend went, and she walked for me. I supported her, and our contributions support the two kids that I am supporting in the African Children Project. So I feel very connected.
Good.
Even though
I'm
far away.
Yes. Well, sort of. I mean, we couldn't prove it right now, could we? It doesn't feel at all like we're far apart. So, just like those kids. You know, we think about those kids, and it doesn't feel like they're on the other side of the world. I just put up a picture of the young woman. She's still a young woman, but the young woman who really brought us there and convinced me, in spite of what other people were trying to tell us, that this was the place for us to be. And her little her picture of her and her little daughter, who happens to be named Sherry. And I've just put them up on the refrigerator, their picture, and I thought, I mean, they're just right here. They're just right here in my heart, right here with us. Yep. As you are. Right now.
Well, I forgot to have children, and I was thinking about it, and then I decided, oh, there is a way.
You have children.
So I have a boy and a girl.
Uh-huh. Very good. Yeah. Yeah.
And you
can watch them grow up, right? You can watch them grow up. You can know that they're going to school, or that they're eating, and that they're getting healthier, and that, yeah, all of that. They're all our children, aren't they?
They are.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask something about community building, because I see how it works through Living Compassion, and I wonder how to try to implement it in just regular community. I think that the last call gave me some clues about what to do, but I live in a condo building where we're having a lot of crisis, and people don't want to participate or pay money to repair things or serve to maintain the building.
Mm-hmm.
And
But let me guess, Marianne, what people do want to do is have difficult interactions.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes, and we have quite a bit of that.
I mean, you're in Canada, so inherently you people are nicer than we are. We know that, and we aspire, okay? But still, I think people all over the world who don't want to, like not to be in agreement and to take opposing views and then express their view in opposition to somebody else's. Is this kind of happen where you live?
Yes. And
uh-huh.
I think that because I'm a number one in the Enneagram spectrum, I take... But I also grew up with community, so I have an idea how this works. Like, I grew up in a small farming community where everybody had your back, you know. So in a city, it's a bit different. And I'm wondering how to I don't know, translate.
Well, here's my best suggestion, okay? Become a student of Gandhi.
Okay, a student of Gandhi.
Mm-hmm. Because what you're describing is what he devoted his life to, right? Taking groups of people, individuals, and then groups of people who were not predisposed to be in harmony,
mm-hmm.
and attempting to get those people to come to a common respect and willingness to see one another's perspective and to work together to accomplish what everybody had in common.
Well, I agree with that. I just find that somehow, because I believe we are not separate, so I think what I do for the community, I do for myself, or what I do for myself, mm-hmm. I do for the community. But mm-hmm. It feels like it needs to translate a little bit further down the line so more people would take some more responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, we do feel that way. Yes, we do. And it would be lovely if they would. But so often, they don't want to. And
yeah.
So then we're left in a position of deciding who's right and who's wrong. And, of course, you may have noticed that then groups of people get together with the ambition of making other people do what those other people are not naturally inclined to do, right?
Yes.
And yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and so we get into a whole political thing. We get in, and then people pass laws, and then if people don't want to do the right thing, little quote marks in the air there, then they have to go to jail or maybe be killed. And so, yes, it's extremely difficult what you're up against, and I think the most difficult part of it is that it's all happening inside of us.
Yes.
Yeah, which is why I kind of thought you might be a nice match with Gandhi. You know, you could start out with the movie if reading him is daunting. You know, just I watched it not that long ago, and I was just stunned by the message, right? That the message is maybe nobody else wants to do this. I want to do this, and so it's up to me to do it.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's to be the way we want the world to be and hope that somebody else wants to too, because as Pooh Bear pointed out, it is so much friendlier with two. And so when we have others who want to walk the path with us, it's a more joyful process. But we can't actually hope that anyone else wants to. I mean, we can hope, but we can't have an expectation that they will, because they might not. And if they don't want to, then they're not wanting to can't make us lose our devotion.
Right.
We can't do it because somebody else wants to do it too. We have to just do it because we want to do it, and then through that process, perhaps somebody will join us, and then perhaps, so I'll tell you this, I don't know what time it is, but anyway, I'm going to tell you this anyway. Okay, for years, when we were talking earlier about the inspiration and inspiring things coming through, I wanted to do a movie. Talk about projects you don't have financing for, but the plot of the movie was fairly simple. It's a group of people who decide that they want to change the world.
not because the world needs changing, but because they want to change it. Okay? And there were some ground rules to their project. One, you couldn't ask or expect anything from anybody else, and then you couldn't, that was actually the only one. Okay, so everything that you wanted to do, you had to do, right? And the point of it was that in doing it, you would be so obviously so much happier than anyone else, having so much more fun, such a better time than anyone else, that they would want to join you. And that's what this group of people got together to do. Okay? So not ask anybody for anything, not expect anything from anybody, but just do what you're doing with so much love and so much joy that other people want to join in for the love and the joy.
Okay. I see that that also kind of relates to being unconditional love.
Yes. Yep. So, you know, it would be great if people wanted to take care of the buildings, right? I mean, that'd be lovely because then they won't fall down and they look nice and all of that. But really, what we really want is for people to want to take care of things because they feel so taken care of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not coming from being asked to do something from a place of deprivation, but being asked to do things from a place of abundance and plenty. So how do we get to that place? And of course, you know, people, it always comes down to money for people, but it's not money, right? That's not the motivation. The motivation is joy.
Yes.
Sit up, having fun. So how can we do this? How can we accomplish what we want to accomplish from a place of fun? Yep. So I'm constantly saying to people, I don't believe in coming from deprivation. So with the Africa Project, you know, I don't want people not to to feel like, well, if I didn't have a coffee, my favorite coffee every day, then I could put that much in a jar. No. Have your favorite coffee and come up with another way to equal that amount of money or whatever amount of money you want to put in the jar for the kids in Cantalumba. Right? We don't want them to be deprived. We don't want anybody to be deprived.
Yeah.
There's always a joyful, expansive way to accomplish what it is that we want to accomplish. So how do we find that? Now we're being transformed, right? We want other people to change, but the first person we want to change is ourself.
Yes. Well, I truly believe that.
Yeah, that's what brought me to Gandhi. Because his experiments in truth, that's what he was doing all the time. How could he find that place in himself? How could he find the unconditional in himself and come from that as a way of offering that into the world? And would people be drawn to that? Would they be attracted to that? Would they want to do that too? Maybe, as it turned out. A lot of people did, and he changed an entire country in the course of the world.
Well, I guess, you know, I will do my Gandhi experiment, and I'll be satisfied to change just this one corner of the block.
That's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, I'm convinced that as you open yourself to it, you will see, it'll drop in, it'll come to you, the way to make these changes happen that is good for everybody.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's not how the conditioned world thinks of things or looks at things, right? Egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is always looking at what's wrong, what there's not enough of, what's missing, loss, lack, deprivation, fear. If it's negative, conditioned mind is all over it, right? But when we step out of that, step into the moment and into life, then all possibility is there for us. That's where we want to live. That's where we want to be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for you. And if somebody wants to come along with you, yay, welcome aboard. And if they don't, you're just as happy because you're living where you want to live.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Sherry. That helps inspire me to be brave in the face of
there you go.
Whatever it is that it's out
that's
there.
Right. That's right. That's right. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And that's what we're learning to do. No matter what happens, we choose to be how we choose to be. It's not dependent upon anything. It's just how we choose to be.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. And thanks for, on behalf of the kids, thank you. Thank you for your efforts.
Okay, thank you. And thank you, Michael. Gosh, oh.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Mary Ann. And that was a very fun conversation also, Sherry.
Yeah, well, for having fun, it's what we do.
Yes.
You think?
Yeah. Yes.
People just don't often associate awareness practice with having fun. But actually, they are one and the same.
Yes, and it's a good indicator of whether I'm identified or not. I'm having fun.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. In fact, was it last week somewhere, just recently, I said it's really that simple. If I'm not happy, I'm identified. And by happy, I don't mean, I just mean if there isn't a sense of well-being and gratitude and knowing that I'm a really fortunate, blessed person, then I'm identified. And what goes along with it is I'm probably listening to a crummy conversation in my head about what's wrong and what's missing and that sort of thing. So, yeah, that's how we check in right there. If I'm hearing all that stuff, if I'm feeling that, I'm identified. Okay, that's job one. Then I need to disidentify. How do I disidentify? I need to get out of that conversation, and I need to get into a conversation that is real, that is true, that reflects what I know myself to be and how I choose to live, what I want to be in this world. And those conversations, where are they? Well, we're right there on that recorder. If they're not right there on that recorder, then the first job is to put them on the recorder so I get to talk about everything that is wonderful and good and that I'm grateful for, and everything that's working, and all of the wonderful, wonderful things that this world is and that this life is. I talk about that endlessly, and then I listen to it. That's the conversation that I live in, and that's the reality that I live in, and that's how awareness practice is always fun.
Wow. Wow, that was fabulous.
There's a commercial, huh?
There's a commercial. So inspiring. And right on the button of 6 o'clock.
There you go. See? God is good.
There you go.
That's it.
Yes.
All right. Thank you,
Michael. Sherry.
I won't talk to you next week, but good Lord willing, the creek don't rise. We'll talk in 2 weeks, right?
Yes, thank you for that. Another reminder that there's no radio show next week, the 13th, because of the precepts retreat at the monastery.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye.